Minimum is from the Mio. Charaka Mateus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm kidding.
Show the meaning, the min is our, we're like by the second wide line on Charaka Mateus.
Can I join in, Rabbi?
What's an in, Rabbi?
What?
We have a Roni Marazi Bakal Sham. Shalomina is from Gamliel. Amin is a word which is used in the Gemara for an apikairis. An apikairis. Without getting into the definitions of what apikairis, where's the sharish of the word min? Bari mine besamim. Make that bracha every week.
Mm-hmm.
A min means a type, a species. A min is someone that puts himself in a separate category. I don't belong to your club. I have my own club. So that's why you use a min for an apikaris. He's a disbeliever. A min's a disbeliever. But he's not just a disbeliever. He said, you and me are in different clubs. I'm an exclusive club. And I'm not in your club, you're not in my club. Sure, there's no common ground. Because there's no common ground with Mina. Shalom, Mina is serving on Leo. Now, Mina have a particularly hard time with Chiyas and Mason. A particularly hard time. You see, they're always challenging this. Minayim shakadosh baruch hu mechayim meisim. What's your source that Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring back the dead?
Oh, I can't write. Okay. Ready?
Amalehem min ha-Teira, it's a chumash, min ha-Nevi'im, from the prophets, min ha-Ksuvim, and from the latter, you know, the latter writings, the Ksuvim. What kibbutz mimenu? He didn't accept it. Rabbi Gamliel said, "Min atayr d'ksiv." Vayem Hashem amaisha. Hashem said to Maisha, "Hincha sheichiv v'mavasecha." You're going to lie down with your forefathers, with your fathers. He's telling Maisha he's going to die. You come, and you're going to get up. Sounds pretty good. And you're going to get up. So it's a raya that there's going to be tchiyas amazing. Even Moshe is going to have tchiyas amazing. He's going to lie down, he's going to get up. Amulai. It was more than one min, it was a group of men. They said to him, V'dilma v'kama amazevazana. You know, they said it depends on how you read the pasuk. Where do you put the comma? Where do you put the pause? If you read it, hin cha sheichivim avasecha v'kam, you're going to lie down with your forefathers and get up. So that means chiyas amesim. But if you read it, hin cha sheichivim avasecha, you're going to lie down with your forefathers. Comma. V'kam hamazeh, and this nation is going to get up, v'zana, and they're going to worship avodah zarah. So it depends where you put the word becomes. It's not a riot. I mean, of course, they're wrong because there are no commas in the Torah. There aren't any. There's no punctuation in the Torah.
So it decides.
Which, no one. That means it's all legitimate. It means any meaning that you can get out of the Torah.
Everything's in there.
It's there. Because the Torah doesn't have any punctuation. So hincha sheikhav ma'avasecha v'kam is legitimate, and hincha sheikhav ma'avasecha v'kam, it's a different pshat in the pasuk. You can't have a different pshat in the pasuk.
You can only learn out one thing from the pasuk.
That's a drasha and halacha. This is not a halacha. You know how many dafim of Agadat Gemara we have that you keep going, you know, with one pshat after another and what it means? A halacha. It's only when you're learning it out from the fact that it's extra. If the reason why you're learning out a particular halacha is because something's extra, so obviously you can't learn more than one thing out because it's not extra. If you're learning something out because the word means something, you can even learn more than one thing out of it. So it's all legitimate. What? Menaviyim, the Chassid. I didn't say that yet. Hakra, I said Hakra. Hakra means it has no way of tilting in one way or another. There's a list of psukim that there's no indication in the pasuk itself which way to tilt it, you know, where to put the word. And there's no way of determining it. And this is one of them. Sometimes you can tell. Sometimes you can't. Menaviyim. You're dead people are going to live. Meisach means you're dead people. What do you mean, you're dead people? Dead people in Eretz Yisrael. You're dead people. God's dead people. They're going to live. Nivlasi Yikumun. The corpses are going to get up. Hakitsu, they're going to wake up. Verananu, and they're going to praise Sheikh Ne'apa, the dwellers of the dirt. Kital Eris Talecha, because God's dew is the dew of light. God's dew bestows light. The Eretz Ephraim Tapil, and the land of the giants is going to fall. How do you get past this one? Now, Minim, they do believe in Pesukim. Otherwise, what's the point? Minim do believe in Pesukim. So here's a Pesuk. V'dil m'meishim sh'achi Yechezkel. That Pesuk, Yeshaya Navi said, you look on the side, you'll see Yeshaya said it. And Yeshaya came before Yechezkel. Yechezkel is one of the last of the Nevi'im. And Yeshaya lived in the time of Chizkiyah HaMelech. Yeshaya wasn't from the last Nevi'im. Yechezkel was after the Korban. Yechezkel was after the Korban. Yeshaya was before the Korban. By Yisrishon. So Yeshaya said that in the future, the dead are going to come back to life. You ever heard of the famous Dry Bones? Yeah, not the comic strip. You ever heard of Dry Bones? There was a valley filled with dry bones, and Hashem told Yechezkel HaNavi to go to the valley and to bring him back to life. And he came back to life. Yechezkel HaNavi did Tchias HaMeisim. Elisha HaNavi did Tchias HaMeisim. Eliyahu HaNavi did Tchias HaMeisim. So Yeshaya, who came after Eliyahu, Yeshaya came after Elisha, but Yeshaya was still before Yechezkel. So even though his nevuah can't be talking about Elio and Elisha because they were before, but it could be talking about Yechezkel. So the medium says it's talking about that. Alright. Why is this a... This is also pretty... you know, if you're looking for a source, Hashem is going to be Mechayim Mason. So why do you think Hashem was telling Yechezkel to bring back the bones in the valley of Dura? Why do you think he was telling him to do that? Just for the fun of it? You know what happened to those people that he brought back to life? According to one opinion? What do you think happened to all those people that came back to life? They dropped dead right afterwards. Exactly. The point was to instill within us a belief in Amunah and Tchias HaMeisim. You see the dead people come back to life, but it's not the time yet. What?
Were they from those people? Maybe from Yisrael and Zariah?
The Gemara talks about Rabbi Yudim and Beseira.
Really?
But the Machlech is a man of the holds that they died. So this is also something which, to any thinking person, to someone that wants to scratch beneath the surface, it's a raya, but if you don't want to believe in it, why? Because I don't belong to this club. So anything that that group brings up as a proof, we'll say, nah, that's the way they look at things. We don't look at things that way. Minek Suvim? The chichech and your palate, we're talking about the mouth. Your palate. Kiyayin atoiv. What comes out of your palate is like good wine. We're talking about divrei Torah that comes out of the mouth, obviously. V'chichech kiyayin atoiv. Your palate is like good wine. The words that come out of it is like a fine wine. Hailech l'daidi. Goes to my beloved. L'meisharim. The straight ones. Daiviv sifse yishanim. Daiviv means that's the word that used to describe the lip movement. Daiviv is the lip movement. Sifse, the lips. He says yishanim. Okay, we'll say yishanim. Yishanim is the ones that are sleeping. So this pasuk is talking about the fine wine that comes out of the lips of those that are sleeping. What's that? People might talk in their sleep, but fine wine doesn't come out of when a person talks in their sleep, it's not fine wine. So Ibn Gamliel says that's talking about Tchiyas HaMeisim, because the people that are asleep, they're going to wake up, and they're going to say different Torah. The Talmidei Chachamim, they're going to wake up, they're going to say different Torah. How can they do that? Must be Tchiyas HaMeisim. He didn't accept this. V'dilma ruchushim rakshim sifsitei b'yama. That they're still in the grave, the dead people are still in the grave, they're not going to get up. But while they're in the grave, their lips move a little bit. Ruchushim rakshim means a little bit of movement. But they're not getting up. And they're not coming out in the open. This is mama's the same thing. You see this?
But that's like a type of tchias amazing.
Exactly. But it's a tchias amazing. The lips are... Look at the way they do it. Look, you see in Rashi. The lips move only a little bit. And they don't come out into the Avir Ha'ilam. So that means that to them, this world is a world that tchias amazing cannot enter into this world. Do they believe that God could do anything? Yeah, of course God could do anything. These people are minim. Minim, they believe in God, they just have their own club. They're their own, you know.
They don't believe in certain things? Or?
Well, they only believe these within their reality. It's like a circle that they, anything outside of the box, they don't believe in.
This isn't Sadukim.
Skeptics.
This is Sadukim.
So they only believe in Torah Shabbat?
Exactly.
That's who we're talking about?
Exactly. But there's a reason why they
don't believe in
Torah Shabbat. Yes, they have their version of God. So that's why if a guy is in the grave, he's not part of this world. Because no one sees him. His lips move a little bit. No one's going to know. So they can handle that. Because that doesn't destroy their preconceived notions. Yes, elsewhere, there could be all kinds of things. But we don't have to live with it. We don't have to deal with it. It's not part of our life. I don't have to see it. That's their box. Their box is it the only... The reality to them is limited to them. But if it's outside of me, it doesn't exist. Now that something outside of them could exist, but they don't have to see it and hear about it, they're willing to admit that, as long as it doesn't intrude on my reality. And that's where you see this. That nothing can, and it comes from the Sherishis, that nothing can be bigger than themselves. And they quote Rabbi Yechanan. The meaning, the tzedukim, quote Rabbi Yechanan. They're not pashut, they're complex people. Dem Rabbi Yechanan. Bishim Reb Shimon ben Yitzadak. Kamish Nemra Halacha Bishmai. Anyone that Halacha was said in his name, Ba'ilam Azeh, in this world, and he's dead? Svaz of Davis Bechava, the lips of the dead person move when he's in the camera. Literally move. Shenamar Daibiv Sivsi Yishanim. There's a movement for the lips of the Yishanim.
What?
This is the same pasuk.
It's the same pasuk?
Yeah.
So
this talk is true. This talk is true. We learned that out also. And like Amin Amon is about, like Aaron Moh is about to say, that the fact that somebody could, his lips could still move after he's dead, is a riot that he's not dead. He appears dead. But dead people's lips don't move. When you say his different Tyra, I mean, first of all, the soul side, is
completely connected from the body.
This is obviously his side. I could say this for, I'll save this for the end, but remind me to get back to his side. Each and every one of these rayas are rayas. And the meaning are just too mitzumtzum, they're too limited to see it. And they're all good rayas. And there's no loopholes in the rayas. It's just that if someone doesn't want to see, if they're committed to not opening up the horizons, they say, I don't want to believe in it, because then I'm going to have to see that there's something I never understood before, and I don't, and then it might cause me to be more responsible, and they don't want to do that. So Hashem allows them to fool themselves, but these are Raya's brewers. And remind me to get back to this. Ad she'amla mikrazeh. Until the next pasuk. This next pasuk is, you know, this is checkmate. Asher nishba Hashem la'abaseichem is a familiar pasuk that Hashem commanded to your forefathers, Moses, Lahem, to give to them. So Hashem said he's commanding to the forefathers, he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to them. We heard this before. We had a similar pasuk. Lasesh lahem is eretz Canaan. Very similar pasuk. Lachem leinemer. It doesn't say Hashem is giving it to you. El lahem is giving it to them. The kanat kiasa meisim natara. So here, what are you going to do? The literal translation of the pasuk, he's going to give it to them. Who's them? The fathers. They're dead.
The land it's talking about.
Yeah, it's Israel. They're mekabelit. The literal pasuk. Yeah. So what are they going to say? They say, it means, it doesn't mean to the forefathers directly. It means
their children.
Yeah, but that's not pasuk shot. See, here they're getting stuck. Kind of getting stuck. We could say that it means, you know, the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. They can't say that. That's an illegal move.
They don't darshan like that.
Because they don't darshan. Literal meaning.
Yeah.
Some say it's from this pasuk. This is a good pasuk. And those of you who cling to God, to God, your God, Chayim, alive, Kuchem, all of you, Hayim, you're all alive today. Isn't it sort of obvious? Maisha's talking to people. Who's he talking to? Is Maisha in a cemetery? Maisha's talking to live people. And he's saying, you are clinging to God, you are alive today. Isn't it sort of obvious? Mahayim kochem kayamim. Just like today you're all alive. Apolonim abak kochem kayamim. And he accepted it. This is a little bit harder to understand when he accepted it. Rashi says he's darshaning for the extra word hayam. Now the next Gemara starts a series of Gemaras where the Romans are starting to get it here. This Gemara was talking about Minim. Sedukim, but now we're going to start with the Romans.
Don't they do that in the fourth parak, a lot of Sedukim coming past?
Yeah, this is it, yeah. They're all asking from their world's view. Shalom Ratan Mesev Yeshua Ben Chananya. You see that this is a... You know, nowadays, People don't ask these
right.
things.
Elohim said to Moshe, I am Hashem.
It doesn't bother them. Why does it bother them? So let them be like everyone else, like all the guys nowadays. They don't believe in Tchias
Hamesh. At the end of last part,
They do. They don't. Why do they have to come to us? What's bothering them? There's something going on in this Gemara. There's a happening. There's an event. There's something real. You know. Now, when was the last time someone came over to you and said, where's the source of the Torah for Tchias Hamesh? And would a guy come over to you and say, where's the source of the Torah?
Don't believe it.
Then people believe in nothing.
They ignore it.
There's something going on. Shaul Reimann, the Romans, had a delegation to go to Rabbi Shuvah Hananya. That's one thing. He knows what's going to be in the future.
What?
What's going to be? Romans. They put it together. Yeah, what's going to be? What's going to be? Everything.
Since I showed up, it's only got worse.
Amal Chavayim and Amikra Azed. There was a relationship. There's so much to talk about here. It's like Tchias Hamesh is connected with the idea of Hashem for the future. Rishonim say HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to know the future.
You think that what you're looking at,
we you know, live in time. So to us, we live in time. So anything that happened already is gone. Anything which in the future has not happened yet. So we live in the here and now. So by us, there's a concept of knowing the future or remembering the past. Because Bok is above time. It just is. It just is. And that's the, you know, it just is. So nothing could ever get lost. Nothing could ever be passed. If nothing could ever be passed, then nothing could die. And just as a side point, Tchias Hamesh is related to the future not being hidden from us. Not Shadow Kishmoka knows the future. The future is not hidden from him because by him everything just is. The interesting is something that happened, now it's gone and this didn't come yet.
How did we get created?
That's only for our perception. Everything is our perception. The concept of everything being just is beyond us. We can't think of anything, understand anything outside of time. But yeah, something has to be the past, it happened already, it is happening, or it will happen. Anything beyond that, we have no concept of whatsoever. Our brain does not break out of time. The one thing we have to know is that there's things that we don't understand, and we have to be big enough to realize that just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. There's a lot here. Shinamah, this is the pasuk. Vayim Hashem al Moshe, Hincha Sheikhavim Avasachi, you're lying down with your forefathers. Vikama Amazah, and this nation is going to get up. Vizana, they're going to do off by desire. Vizana literally means to practice infidelity. They're going to practice infidelity. Because when they worship off by desire, that's infidelity.
People that are ignorant.
So depending on where you put the comma, if you put the comma after become, that tells you it's amazing. If you put the comma before become, that shows you Hashem is going to know the future. Yes, it's both. It's both.
Leave out the comma completely?
Yeah, there's no commas. The Dilma of a comma, I'm a Zevazana. Maybe, you know, maybe the comma is before the word become, and he only knows that he could, and then it only says that he could do the future. How do you know it's Tchias Hamesh? That's the Roman said. Similar to what the Meanim said. There's a very strong similarity between Romans and Meanim. Amalohu. So he told them, Rabbi Shimon Bar says, the credit to me a pogavi daiku. You grabbed at least half of what you wanted in your hands. You know, you can't.
How can I prove him wrong on both?
You can't. You got at least half. You know what the future is going to be. Yedem mashasad liyis. Amr B'yechidan, in the name of Amr B'shem R'shem B'yechai, Minayin Shekhoz Bokha M'chayim Mason, Yedei Mashas Elias, Shenemar, it's the same kasha. You know, he asked it himself, he didn't need the Romans to ask him. Hinech Shekhi V'al Asecha B'kam V'zana. Finish. Right? He wanted to teach it in his yeshiva. He says, you know, where do we know this from? We know it from here. I'm Rabbi Eliezer Reb Yosi. B'davizeh with this thing, Ziyafti Sifrei Minim. I proved that it's a lie. Ziyafti means to prove it's a lie. Like Mizuyaf. Mizuyaf. Forged. A check that's forged is Mizuyaf. A contract that's forged is Mizuyaf.
Exactly what I gotta do, when I gotta do it.
I proved that their Svarim are Sheker. Basically, I took their whole world's view, the whole Mahalach HaChaim, their whole belief system, and I showed that there's absolutely no basis to it. Because their belief system is predicated on reality being only something that's within the realm of their ability to grasp it. And I slugged them up because I proved that there's something beyond it. And I marked them, Ziyapti Teraschem. I destroyed your Torah. He calls it your Torah. They had a Torah. They have a Torah. Your Torah is forged. The emperor has no clothes. Your Torah is forged. Well, at least in Biyadchum Kulamin, you have nothing left in your hands.
But in reality,
it's all false. You've got nothing.
That's what they said.
But God creates the world in a way.
No, that's what he said to them. Klum. There's a famous encounter between the Prime Minister of Israel, Ben Gurion, and he wanted to meet with the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish met with him. It's a famous encounter.
They were both alive at the same.
Yes. Ben Gurion was in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
I'm with the Chazon Ish.
He was lived in 1960, 61. Because they wanted, Ben Gurion was endeavoring to get all the girls into the army, including the Frumma ones, especially the Frumma ones. And Ben Gurion, it was made very clear to Ben Gurion, if it's going to happen, it's going to be it's going to be a cauldron, it's going to boil over, and a fire is going to reach across Israel. You know, the reaction is going to be so strong. Like the announcement we're dealing with says that this law is ever passed, they're going to pass it to us to live in Eretz Yisrael. So he wanted to meet with the Chazon Ish. He wanted to come to some accommodation, maybe a compromise, you know, a certain age, a short amount of time, a certain unit, you know. The Chazon Ish said no compromise. And the guy says, how come always when we have to come, it's called coming to loggerheads at certain issues, like, so how come we always have to move out of the way for you? Like, there's no compromise in the Shulchan Aruch. He didn't understand this. You want something, we want something. So let's make something that's, you know, that you get a little bit. You want, we want. You know, every time he's like, no, it's us, you know. So he didn't answer him in a firm way. The Shulchan Aruch in time. You see, now he didn't answer him like that. I mean, that's the real answer. But there's a lot of weight to what he did answer. So let me ask you something.
How are you? Where are you coming from?
You've got two wagons, and they're coming at a crossroads. And only one can get across the crossroads at a time. So one wagon has to wait, and the other wagon has to go through. You said, one of them is full, and the other one is empty. One of them is bringing provisions, and yeah, it's going to save the city. You know, it's got a lot of stuff in there that everyone needs. And the other one is coming there, has nothing there, it's empty. He said, which one should, which one has the right of way? Which one should go first? The full one or the empty one? Which one should move out of the way? Let the other one go in. The full one or the empty one? And he let it sink in. He said Ben Gurion was like, he couldn't believe Chazon Ish said this. He said, Leidig? Empty? And the Chazon Ish said, Leidig. You're empty. Leidig means empty. He's telling him, we don't move, and you gotta move, because we have everything, and you have absolutely nothing. Right. And we have to believe this. Someone that's not following the life of Torah mitzvahs, someone that's not emphasizing this, someone that's not spreading it, someone that doesn't believe in it, there is nothing there. There is nothing to be gained from it. They have absolutely nothing. And this was at a time, I want to tell you, this is at a time when there was idealism. Zionism was an ideal. People were proud to be Zionists. They were proud Zionists. And they were proud to be in the army. And the army was the source of all the success. And they were a light and beacon to the nations. They had so much success. And they, you know, they held up the banner of the state. There were some people believed in it. 60 years later, you see that it's empty. It's empty. Pretty soon there's going to be more Israelis in California than in Israel. Never. And then millions of Israelis are in America? Empty. Empty. The apathy, the matzav ruach in the army, the apathy is at such a low. Nobody wants to fight. Empty. As I said, Leidig. Zokter, Shim by Yechai, I'm sorry, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yesi. Lehelisim b'yedchem klum. You mean him. They built up a whole world where they have an amuna. They have tamidim. They spread it. Klum. Nothing. Nada. Gornished. And this is a cardinal belief. They have to believe in it. It's not like they're curious. They say, well, I don't believe in it because I've never, no one ever showed it to me. That's not the way it goes. With meaning, if they could be shown or proven with Chias Amesim, then they disappear. They can't believe in it. It's either them or Chias Amesim. You can't coexist because they believe that it's impossible to live a life that you believe in something that's beyond what you can see. And the minute you show them that dead people can come back to life, that's not a natural phenomenon. I'm sorry. It's not just that. That the whole purpose of this world is that dead people to come back to life. It's not just a nice thing. Oh, God could do miracles. They believe in that. A miracle? Okay, a miracle. Yechezkel could bring people back to life. A God could talk a little bit in the cave. Just as long as it's not the world. It's a freak. They could deal with it. But that the world is that. That Chias Amesim is the ultimate goal. It's not just a nice, like something, it's not cool, you know? Chias Amesim is not cool. Mm. It's not sick. Chias Amesim is it. Chias Amesim is the man. It's the man. Yo, yeah? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They can't doubt that, you know, that makes it, that means they have nothing. If Chias Amesim is the man, that means that they are, nothing. They're gornish.
Learn a couple of gemaras.
Klum. Hayoyim, he covers tikkaras and nefesh ahi. It says that you're going to get cut off, and then you're going to... It says in the Torah. You hear this, Avi? It says in the Torah, if somebody does something that is chayiv karas, something really bad, you're going to get cut off. And after we cut you off, we're going to cut you off. That's what it says in the Torah. We're going to cut you off. First I'm going to kill you. Okay. No. And then when I'm done killing you, then I'm going to kill you.
So then they don't...
Because the car is brand new mazer.
So someone that's kind of courage doesn't come back.
You're going to get cut off in this world. Avayna Ba. And then you're going to get your Averis. Avayna Ba, Amos, what is that? Lab Lanam Ba, right? You know, then we're going to kill you. First, I'm going to kill you. And then Avayna Ba, you're going to get, you know. When is that Lanam Haba? So he's learning out from Ikaris to Ikaris means dying, and Avayna Ba means he's going to get it in Olam Haba. He's not going to come back to this world. He's going to lose his Tchias HaMeisim. So it must be there is Tchias HaMeisim. So Gemara is a kasha. Why does he have to do it that way? Ikaris to Ikaris is Olam Hazeh, and Avayna Ba is going to lose his Olam Haba. Why don't you do it from Ikaris to Ikaris? Ikaris is Olam Hazeh, and Tikaris is Olam Haba. You've got three things. Ikaris, Tikaris, and Avayna Ba. Amar Abayla Abayi, B'leim Lutavayim, Ikaris, Tikaris. So Abayi says, I can't do that. Because they have an answer for that. Inu Havi Amrili, don't say Dibritari Kalashim Deyadim. Ikaris, Tikaris, is not an extra word. Because the Torah, Hashem gives us the Torah in a way that's expressed, that it has some human expressions in it. Humans repeat things for emphasis.
Why would the Torah write that way, though?
For emphasis. Ketanai, and there's a machlaikas tanai. Hikaris, tikaris, hikaris, belam hazeh, tikaris, belam haba. Rabbi Kiva dashes like that. You lose alam haba. I'm Rabbi Yishmael, like my name is Hashem, who megada v'nikrasa. It already says that it's going to get karas. Kishlai she'lamim yesh. Are there three worlds? Hikaris, Tikaris, and Menikrasa? There's three worlds, there are three. There's a Mekar Megad of some of the curses out of Hashem. Ela Menikrasa Be'elam Azeh, Hikaris, Le'elam Abba, and Hikaris, Tikaris, Dibbutak, Lashem, and Eyadon. Okay, we say it. So the Machlaik is whether Hikaris is Le'elam Azeh, Hikaris is Le'elam Abba. And whether Ikaris and Ikaris are both Olam Hazeh, because that's the way the Torah speaks. In any case, Bein Rabbi Shmuel, Bein Rabbi Kiva, Avayna Ba, May Abdullah, according to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, what is Avayna Ba for? Because they do learn Ikaris for Olam Hazeh and Ikaris for Olam Haba. So what, Avayna Ba is extra? Look at the Tanya, Yachal Afilu Asa Tshuva. You might think that the guy did something so bad he can't never do Tshuva. It's cut off. Tam Lom Avayna Ba. Only when he still has that veil with him. Okay, that's the Gemara. So I wanted to talk about a little bit. Two things. Two Makudas. Where's the one? Two Nakudas.
What does that mean?
2 points. Let's start with 1 point. We'll see if we get to 2 points. Talk about Tfas of David with Bekeva. One of the riots that is going to be Tchias HaMeisim is Gemara brings a pasuk that when someone quote a Talmud Chacham a Dvar Torah, then he said the Talmud Chacham's lips move. And that's a riot of Tchias HaMeisim. And we said that it's the Minim could live with that because that, you know, someone, it only moves a little bit and he's underground, they can live with it. But that the world should be that, they can't accept that. That means that they don't exist. I mean, this musig of his lips moving when you say it by Tyra, like what is that? What is it? What does that have to do? I mean, if you told me that Talmud Chacham moves his lips in the cave right here, it's amazing. I would. He moves his lips. But you're telling me that I, you know, I say something over in the name of Rav Moshe Shapiro. Oh, he's alive. I'm sorry. I say something in the name of Zalang Levin. I say something in the name of Rav Gifter. His lips move in the caver, and that's the right of Kiyas Mason. I'm saying it. You understand? I'm saying it. His lips move. Hashem makes some kind of miracle. You know, Hashem makes a miracle. I say it. Hashem makes the lips move. You know, they move. And that's the right of Kiyas Mason. And how does that work? Why should his lips move when I'm saying something?
He's recording.
In any case, he's dead. If he's alive...
If his neshama is completely separated from his body, then what difference does it make?
Right, and if he's alive, so let him say it. Let him say it. I'm not. Let him say it. Let him say it, though. Let him be talking. You see that? You see from this Gemara that dead people can't talk. They can only talk if somebody alive is quoting them. I'll sum it up in one sentence. The dead people can talk if alive people are quoting them, but dead people cannot talk. Dead people are called silent people. They, you know, it's one of the names for dead people. They can't talk. You know, we say in Hallel, the light called Yerdei Duma. Dead people don't talk. Duma means Demama. Called Demama Daka. Duma means silence. Yerdei Duma. People that die are called silent ones because they can't talk. So dead people cannot talk. They cannot talk. But Tamida Chacham could talk if I'm saying it. But what's up with
only
that?
Only Tamida Chacham.
Well, they're the only ones likely to say it right now.
Well, how about it?
Someone that's not a Tamida Chacham says it right now.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. We'll give you that one. But that means for that void, he's a Tamida Chacham. Well, what's up with this? There's a lot to talk about here, basically. There's two Yeshayahs to explain this. One Yeshayah is a general nakuda, general point on the power of speech. We talked about this a little bit on Thursday night. General nakuda on the power of speech. Speech, as we know it, is only possible in this world. Even though you have psukim that malachim, they call out to each other and Hashem speaks.
That's not speech
as we know it.
It's a metaphor.
For us to our speech is a metaphor. It's the other way around. That's speech as we know it.
They say speak so we could understand. Just like
animals
God's
don't
hand
speak,
or
right,
God's
animals
finger.
Don't.
What about a baskel?
Baskels are heard by the neshama. They're not heard by physical ear.
Not heard by the ear?
No. Baskels are heard by the neshama. Not everyone can hear the baskel. Animals don't speak. Not because they don't have the voice box, the larynx.
They communicate. They don't speak.
The reason why they don't speak is because their larynx is developed enough that they can produce sound. They don't speak because they have nothing to say. Speech is the revelation of the seichel. They don't have seichel. They don't have seichel. They don't think, so they don't speak. See this from a baby. The baby's seichel developed and the baby's speech comes out. It's an amazing process. And it matches. The development of the speech comes out when the baby starts waking up to the world and seeing that there is something to connect to and there is what to, you know.
So a baby that takes longer to start speaking.
There is a circle developing longer.
It's slower?
Circle developing longer. So speech is to reveal the circle in this world. The circle, I'm saying the circle. And I'm talking about what the seichel was meant to be, not what people use it for. Because what people use it for, that's distorted. That's a masquerade. Somebody used their seichel for the things that people use. What was the seichel was meant to use for Kodesh Baruch Hu to send his messages to the seichel, and for the seichel to understand those messages. That is why God made a seichel. We don't need a seichel for half the things. For many of the things, I'll give you. I want to be mechabed you. I don't want to. You know, I don't want you to sink into a depression, Chazal Shalom. But we don't need a seichel for the things that we use our seichel for. For the things we use our seichel for, we can have the brains of a monk to be sufficient. What do we use our seichel for? The things that come to our, what do we use our seichel for? Mostly. What do you use your seichel for mostly?
Personally?
Yeah. Okay, but that's when you're turned on. And when you're not turned on. Just random. Most of our seichel is just random. So a brain of a monkey is good enough for that. Yeah, brain of a monkey is good enough for that. Why do we need such a sophisticated brain for that we can design? We can design a spaceship into the moon. Give us the brains of a monkey. The monkeys, they think whatever comes to mind. They have no control over their thought. Instinct. The brains of a monkey, but Hashem doesn't give us the brains of a monkey. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the brains of a mensch. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the brains that some of us, or all of us, are capable, but some of us will reach Maisa Merkava. That we can use our brain for things that are higher than Malachim. Why does Hashem have to give us such a sophisticated brain for? He should give us a brain. So you say, see banana. Eat banana. Peel banana before you eat. That's enough. Don't eat peel. See cliff. Don't jump off cliff. Not good. And we're fine. So we won't jump off the cliff. Don't run in front of cars, right? Some cats, they stupid. They don't jump in front of cars. Don't jump off a cliff and eat bananas. We'll eat bananas. We will
not
survive.
Not the peel.
Not the peel. The peel's terrible. Why? Because God made our seichel, because our seichel is meant to understand Him. Not all these other narishkeiten. And once the seichel has it, then there's the next step. Why didn't God just make us cerebral creatures? We'd just be floating brains. The world should be filled with liquid, with amniotic fluid, what do you call it? And then we're floating around. Thinking.
So he can put the seichel into practice, into use.
Because God wants us to take the seichel and bring it further and apply it to things that are really, really far away from the seichel. Now, if you want an example of something that's really far away from the seichel, this world is really far away from the seichel. There's nothing in this world that the seichel should say it should be the way it is. It is messed up. That nothing works in this world based on a value system of intelligence. The world runs according to the system of desire, not intelligence. Democracy is I don't vote for the smartest person. I vote for the person that's most likely to give me what I want and not take away something that I want. That's democracy. Communism or theocracy or autocracies or all the any of these other monarchy is that the entire country is subservient to what he wants. So democracy wins out over that. Because if it's a choice of me getting what I want or him getting what he, you know, one person getting what he wants, I'll choose to get what I, you know, more comfortable. But it's all a timer. I want this, I don't want that. It has nothing to do with what there's no system of merits. No value system. My value system is subservient to my tithes. I don't want to have a big family because then I won't be able to afford my Infiniti and my Lexus and my travel plans. So not abortion. My value system is abortion. It's not murder. Not because I have some basis. I have nothing to base it on. There's no tithes. I don't believe in anything. Why do I believe that? Because it serves my tithes. People, you know, if same-sex marriages make me sick, I'm against it because it makes me sick, not because I have anything to base on it, it's wrong. I'm talking about even religious values. They have nothing to base it on. They don't know what it says in the Bible. No one knows what it says in the Bible. Oh, you know, a few galachim that they have something to base it on. This makes me sick. So it's a feeling. I Hashem gave us the power of speech, so we should take his values, which are absolute, because God is the one that revealed them. And this is emes, this is the truth. It's not based on feelings or disgust or love or desire or being comfortable. This is God's truth. And we have the power of speech. It doesn't remain in our brains. It comes out into the world. That's why we created. So we were created to speak. So speech is really a function of this world. There's some kind of expression up there, but it's not the same thing. The speech as we know it is a function of this world. There's no point in that world. You don't have to reveal things in the world that everything's revealed. In that way, you know what speech is in that world? It's not to reveal God, it's to praise God. And it's obvious. Speech in that world is an obvious function. In this world, you say a good shiur, you revealed something. In that world, you say a good shiur, so that's what we do here.
What is it in the next world?
It's praise. It's just obvious. It's obvious. It's not revelation. It's obvious. Here, we do something. There, it's just part of that's what goes on over there. Here you do something, it's a chiddush, you're going against the grain. You say a dvar chokhmah in this world and you break through, you went against the grain. You accomplish something. In that world, it's not an accomplishment, it's what's done. Well, lachem say shira, they don't get what say. We say shira, is it? But here, wow, wait, what'd you? So that's why, next point. The Gemara Chagiga says, brings a raya, that fire can't burn Talmid Chacham. I mean, it's a medrash. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the fire, it didn't burn him. Case in point, fact. Fire doesn't burn tzaddikim. The Gemara says, compares a tzaddik to the salamandra.
Compares
a tzaddik to the salamandra. Some type of creature that comes out of a fire, you leave a fire burning for 7 years, it comes out, you kill it, you smear yourself with it. It's like asbestos or something. I don't know, it's a flame retardant. A tzaddik is like a salamander, you can't burn a tzaddik. And then Gemaras, there's many Gemaras about tzaddikim that went into the furnace, some came out fine, others burnt their feet. So you see that there's levels of tipkus. It's not bad to come out with just the feet burned, by the way, you know, going to a furnace. We're not at that madrigal. We go in, we come out like a burnt to a crisp. There'd be nothing left of us. But tzaddikim don't get burned. The Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya, because it says in the pasuk, Haloi kai devarei ka'esh ne'um Hashem. Hello? Ko? Dvarai? Ka'esh? Ne'um? Hashem. Behold? So? My words are like fire? So says God.
No, I'm
wrong. So the Gemara says, there's one thing that fire can't burn. You know what that one thing is? Fire can't burn fire. Oh, it's a raya. So my Rabbi Gift is a chril of racha. Svasi koyim svasim toivis bekarem bekever. My Rabbi Gift is a chril of racha. He had a kasha. What's the raya? The raya is that the Torah is fire. The Torah is fire, so fire can't burn the Torah. But Talmud Chacham, the Gemara is trying to bring a raya. Talmud Chacham can't be burnt by fire. And what's the raya? You're trying to bring a raya. Talmud Chacham can't be burned with fire. And you bring a raya from the fact that the Torah is like fire. And for the Rosh Hashiva, Zichro Levracha. It's a raya brewer from the Gemara. Talmud Chacham is the Torah. Talmud Chacham don't just learn Torah. They are Torah. They're one and the same. They learn it and they become a different person after they learn it. There's no such thing as a Talmud Chacham. If you define someone, you give them the crown, the title of Talmud Chacham, as this is what I say, and that what I do, what I say, you know, they're called cognitive dissonance, schizophrenia, or schizophrenia. A Talmud Chacham doesn't just learn Torah, he absorbs Torah, the Torah changes him, and he becomes a different person, he is the Torah. And if you can't burn the Torah, you can't burn the Talmud Chacham. When you say a Talmud, so number one, the function of speech is only in this world. A Talmud Chacham talking after he's dead is no point. That's not speech. There's no point. speech has to be in this world, but he's not in this world. But his Torah is in this world. So when you say over his Torah, he is speaking. His Torah is him. And it's the only way for him to speak in this world, because if you don't say it, he can't say it, because he's not in this world. There's no speech if you're not in this world. Because most of him, I don't know what percentage of him, but a significant part of him is not in this world. What part of him is totally in this world? His Divrei Torah totally in this world. When a Talmud Chacham says something, speech, he creates speech. Speech does not die. Speech doesn't go away. It's real. It's here. You can't see it, but it's here. The speech is here. The tzaddik is still here. And when you say it, you are giving a voice to him. He is speaking. And he is speaking in this world. You want to know what the nafkamina is? When a person speaks in the other world, he doesn't get reward for his speech. That's what he does. When a person speaks in this world, he gets reward for his speech. Talmidei Chachamim right now, after they die, they're always learning. They're learning, they're talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu learning. But they're not getting reward for that. But when a Talmud or someone tells over a Dvar Torah of a Talmud Chacham in this world, then he's speaking in this world, then he's getting speech. He's getting reward, he's getting schar. It's as if the Talmud Chacham is standing here right now and saying it. And that's a tremendous, tremendous chesed.
He can't stand
chesed.
Here, so...
It's a tremendous chesed to do to someone.
Mention his name.
To say his Dvar Torah and say it in his name.
You have to.
Because it's one of the only ways...
You have to
that
see
he could, right? Because it may be Gulam. That he could live and get schar even after death. That's amazing. Normally after death, it's over. No more. The store is closed. You cannot come in. No exceptions. You know, the money store in Hanov on Friday, it closes at 12 o'clock. I don't get my act together until 12 o'clock. 5 to 12 every week. I got to go run the money changer so I can go get some money to buy the things. I run over there, get to 12 o'clock. The door's closed. I bang on the thing. One more? No. They're closed. You know, Ramisa, it's closed. Whatever went across the bridge cannot do anything to earn reward. But is the tzaddik still in this world? Is the Talmud Chacham in this world? Because the Divrei Torah is him. And that, my friends, is a raya to Tiasanaisa. Someone that doesn't die, right? You could understand how you can come back to life. He never dies. Looks like he's dead. But, you know, the site of Tiasanaisa is predicated, is based on the belief that people never die to begin with. Only dead people die. Live people don't die.
Their physical bodies.
Part of them has to go through a process. Both parts have to go through a process which resembles death. But they never die. So when you go by Amkus, the Tchias HaMeisim...
The Neshama never dies.
Also the Guf comes back. Okay, Ibrahim, say it.
How do I... Hold on.